everybody. It's Street Fight Radio. Glad you're here, y'all. We're ready to do a show. It's a different setup this week. Brian and I had to move some things around. I can't even remember why.
You had to stay up all night making, getting a video released earlier in the week.
Yes, yes. I had promised that the DC live show would be out on Sunday, and it wasn't. So I did it on Monday. It wasn't done still. And then by Tuesday rolled around, I really just needed like a good 6 or 7 hour block of time to finish it up, put all the polishes on it, upload everything like that. So we took a day off. So it's now Sunday afternoon, right before the Super Bowl. I am way higher than usual because my wife is out of town. I've been living that bachelor life of watching movies that no woman would watch. No, actually, that's not true at all. But I've been relaxed. That's all it is. Like, these Sunday shows do feel different. We are going to get a third show happening soon. Thank you to everybody that donates on Patreon. Y'all made that happen. We're getting $2,500 a month. I know that sounds like a lot, and a lot of the tankies out there assume that we each get that amount and they don't take taxes out. But there is a lot of costs that go along with running the show, and as we continue to grow, you're going to see more things happening. I'm going to just announce it right now. Chicago, March 2nd, we're coming to your town. It's Sunday night. Oh, it's a... Wait, is it a Sunday night or a Thursday night?
You said it's a Thursday.
It is a Thursday night. Sorry. Sorry. We were going to go on Sunday, but it's a Thursday night at Township Bar in Chicago. I'm going to do the pre-sale tickets through Patreon, so anybody at any level will have access to the ticket link. I'll message all y'all or make a post about that soon. But yeah, there's more going on. I really want to get a building. We want to get a building so we can do some non-hierarchical type organizing, maybe establish something in Columbus that can you know, work in other places. There's a lot of plans in the future. I'll do a bonus episode about it someday. But right now, I'm just ready to do the street fight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Third show, man. You guys met the third show goal. Now you're about to get some pretty wild. I mean, this is like, Brett and I are like, this is like Christmas, basically. Yeah. Because it's it is not going to be Street Fight.
No,
I
don't.
The only thing that's going to be Street Fight about it is that one of us or both of us will be on it every week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working mostly on this stuff now at least 6 or 7 hours a day, and I want nothing more than to get away from it. And to know that I can do a show and talk about anything else that comes into my mind that I don't get to share with people is nice. I was also very surprised because I kind of feel like, I mean, who really wants that much? And I found out a lot of people really want that third show.
I know. I'm like, people are going to quit listening to Street Fight and just listen to the third show.
You think so?
Yeah. I think we shouldn't even call it Street Fight. We should just call it the third show.
Okay.
This is the third show, baby. Man, I got a tweet this week from Pliny the Elder on Twitter.
Oh, favorite of mine.
I love
good
him.
Guy.
He's a sweetie pie.
Give him a follow. Give him that Street Fight bump.
Ah, shitterino.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Here
Ned
it is.
Flanders.
It's Pliny _ the Elder. I believe that's like a god.
So I think it's somebody that got carved out of a marble statue at one point, right?
Right on. Well, I mean, I hope to be that someday.
Oh yeah.
So
Brian the Elder,
Brett
the Younger.
Well, I mean, you can still just call me, Murder Brian and Brett Payne, and
that's
just
true.
Give us a rad statue
with no arms on it.
Well, I'd like arms, but will you make the arms look like buff? Like, get me some muscles.
Yeah.
Maybe put Felix's arm on my body.
Yes, and sculpt the finest of boots on my feet.
Yeah. Giant penis. If I'm going to be naked.
Oh, come on. Huge hog is your request?
No.
I like the dainty little ones, the little doily one that they put.
The
little fig leaf wiener.
I don't want that wiener. I don't want people to point at it and laugh. I want them to be like,
this is obscene.
If it's going to be there, I want them to be like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So Pliny the Elder sent me this tweet. I don't have a ton of detail. It's one tweet, but it is definitely something that we're going to want to talk about. And it says, a friend of his didn't want to work, So he wrecked his car on purpose, which is that's hero level shit. You know what I mean?
That reminds me of one point at my job. I was almost on the brink of like freaking out and just throwing a handful of bolts into the lights to just create a commotion so I could run out the door.
You want a similar story to that? When I was 12, my brother, a friend of mine, was like, "Hey, my mom's going to take us to go see Boys in the Hood. Do you guys want to go?" And I was like, "I'd love to go. Let me ask my parents." They made me clean up all the dog shit in the backyard. And they told my older brother, Jason, they're like, "Jason, you got to mow the lawn." This motherfucker went out there, took the lawnmower and he turned it on. He mowed like one line and then just slammed it on a tree stump and broke the goddamn lawnmower. He's like, "I can't help it that the lawnmower's broken now. And we got the money and we went to the movie." He never even mowed the lawn.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, that it's, I don't consider this the childish though.
No, I don't either. I think I like it. I mean, anybody that's
you break
willing,
my goddamn mower, I'm going to break your goddamn neck. I wouldn't give anybody, if I sent my kid out with a mower and it comes back broken, they're not going anywhere.
It was an accident.
No,
he said
it was an accident. Stop listening to kids. I don't listen to fucking kids.
It was not an accident, but he said it was an accident and they had to believe it for some reason. You know what I mean? I mean, if there's a rock in the yard, that'll bust it up. And like sometimes lawnmowers get broke, man. I haven't mowed a lawn in like 20 years.
So here's what mine was. I was actually at work and I was contemplating breaking my own finger because I figured it probably couldn't be that bad. But if I were to hold my hand out, and I did pick and pack, so there was like metal shelving that went down. And I figured if I took one of these corners hard enough, or if I held on really hard to this handle and rammed it into in the shelf, I would break my fucking finger and I'd get to leave work.
That is incredibly, like, I wish you would have done
hours.
It.
I spent like probably 90 minutes being like, I can do this. I can fucking do this. I just need to get out of here. I'm going to fucking explode.
If you would have done that, you'd be like,
People that have.
I would make the Brett Payne statue if you would have broke your finger to get, because that's brave. Well, this person, it didn't turn out well. They told him to come in anyway.
What?
He didn't, and he got fired.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That's intense, man. Like,
how did they just didn't believe him? I mean, you can send photos nowadays.
Yeah, they didn't care. I mean, I think the point is he called into work and he was like, "I wrecked my car. I can't make it in." And they're like, "Well, you know, wrecking your car doesn't take all day. Get your stuff done and then come into work." You know, that's what they expect. And it's like, no, you wreck the car, you get the rest of the day off.
That's true.
That's just the way things are.
Yeah, that's right. You wreck the lawnmower, you get the rest of the day off. You ain't going to Boys in the Hood.
You get to go see Boys in the Hood.
No, you don't.
You did. We did, though. Yeah. I saw it. It's a pivotal moment.
You're right.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've had jobs that said, like, "Can you make it in? Are you going to make it in today?" Like when I worked at the restaurant that I quit, a semi, I had my car wheel turned to the side and I was pulling out. This fucking truck driver decides he also wants to pull out of this small alley at the same time. Drove right over my tire, just decimated my tire. And I had to get it fixed. And I went to do it and the guy was like, "Well, I mean, can you still get in here? You still got like an hour before you got to be at work, you know."
Your boss?
My boss. I'm like, "You deserve that salad dressing all over you, you motherfucker."
Yeah, that's why they have those policies where you have to talk to a manager to call off. You ever been in them? That's fucking that. Everybody's like, "I did not want to talk to them." Because they're going to say that. They're going to try to make you feel bad, too, as much as they can.
I guess we'll just give your, I guess we'll to Jared.
Right.
And tell him that you didn't come in because you're an idiot and you wrecked your car.
Right. People are like, "I'm having a mental health crisis. I want to call." And this person's like, "Well, what's wrong? I mean, talk to me about it. I mean, you can come in and we can have a discussion. I mean, I'm here for you, you know." That's what I've heard, that shit, in some corporate climates.
I'm here for you.
I'm your buddy. I'm not a boss around here. I'm your bud that you can talk about. You know, tell me what's on your mind.
Tony from HR is who I talk to.
Yeah, that's
when I come in. Yeah,
it's
Randy.
It's free therapy. We offer free therapy here. That's what HR is there for.
Yeah, when I worked at the cable company, it was that you had to talk to a manager to call off, and it was through Nextel. And sometimes they just wouldn't answer the phone. Like, you would have to call off. Like, they would be like, you need to call off an hour and a half before your shift. So that's 6:30 in the morning. And you go to call off, and they're like, I'm not going to answer. And then by the time you get a hold of them, they're like, well, you know, you could call a little bit earlier. You know, now we're going to have to give your jobs away to somebody. And it's like, man, that shit isn't my fault. You should probably have somebody on standby. You should probably have somebody with less than a full amount of jobs in case somebody, because people do get sick. You can't depend on nobody getting sick anytime.
Yeah, and also the requirement, like, that's part of your job now, boss man. You want people to call in by 6:30, you got to be up at 5:30 ready to take phone calls, man. You're the switch operator now. You want to make it a fucking game?
Well, it's like I used to just give up and go into work. That's why they did it. I would just be like, oh man, I give up.
This fucking manager Megan that would just wait me out. I'd be like, I lived about 9 minutes away from the warehouse, and she would not fucking answer the phone until it got down to like 8 or 7 minutes, you know? And I would be like, and I would have to leave. Like, I'd be calling up to 15 minutes before, like, please fucking answer the phone. Cause she didn't give a shit, man. If I wasn't there and I didn't call, she's going to write me up.
Demerit.
A point. Occurrences. Yeah.
Yeah. I was always jealous of my wife, cause her job is like a touch. Like, you just go on the phone and you press one and, you
that's
know what
nice.
I mean?
That's like
it's a phone tree.
They're managed because it's like a gigantic company, though. They're managing those people like they're just a number, really. They're just a customer. They're like an employee ID.
I'm telling you, man, I'm of the mind that being just a number is preferable to not being a number these days.
Really, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, I was just like, that's what I thought the cable company was going to be. They even gave me a number when I first started. I was 9709, and it was the most glorious day of my life because it's like, ain't nobody paying attention to 9709.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless your number falls too low on their spreadsheets,
right.
Rankings.
Or if they keep seeing your number. But
that's true. Yeah. They don't know, but you don't have to worry about being judged for who you are. They're just looking at the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know it's Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a nobody.
But then I found out that each manager only had like 20 employees under them. And I'm like, nope, it's still personal now. This is too personal. I want to be employee number 9,709.
And I'll do my job and I will report into a system at the end of the day that I did my job.
Yeah.
And I don't need this fucking overgrown babysitter screaming at me and treating me like shit.
Yeah, I would never quit a job if I got to the point where it was like it's that depersonalized and I'm making enough money to live. It's like I probably wouldn't be doing this show if I found that.
Right.
Because it just that almost feels like the ultimate freedom, except for the fact that you need to spend 40 hours a week at the place. Is that like okay? Because everybody's main problem with their job is anxiety. So you could get rid of that the way to get rid of that anxiety is to be like, nobody's paying attention to me. I feel like it's my own playground out here. Just get the jobs done. As long as the jobs are done and they're done well, you don't have no paying attention to you. But that's not how it happens. The managers have to justify their existence. So they're like on this constant self-improvement or improvement. Like, no, man, I know you're doing good. I know you got 100% on QCs last month, but you know, there's always something you could do better. And no, there's not. There's nothing I couldn't actually do better than 100%. There's no extra credit in this world.
Yeah, and then you get it, and then that's where you get into it is like that was warehouse working for me. The floor manager was always just either an asshole or like cool guy, cool gal, buddy that would drink with everybody and buy shots and shit, and then people were just like, oh, he's kind of like one of us, but just make sure things happen, and that was it. But they were just tricky, you know, they're tricky motherfuckers.
No, the people
they were just manipulating the fuck out of you by laughing at your jokes and buying you a fucking drink.
By being nice.
Politicians.
It's like that excellent small business tactic of like, we're all a family here, my friend. Everybody here, you're like my brother. You're like my sister. You're like my uncle. And then it's like, I'll fucking chop your head off when the shit goes down.
Well, that's how a lot of people treat their family, too. I think family you'd be meaner to most of the time. I mean, family is when you can be fucking ruthless about shit. Like, my family, I'll tell them exactly what I think because they ain't going to fucking stop loving me. They believe in that blood connection shit.
Yeah, but you can't, like, excommunicate them forever and kick them out. That's the difference. When it's, like, a family, it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess if we're all cussing and busting each other's balls here, that's one thing. But, right. like, I also can't just, like I said, chop my family's head off and be like, you're fucking out of here.
Right.
Okay? I never want to. You can, but that's not the traditional way of of how you would treat a family.
Sure, sure.
So, the response to this tweet that we were talking about is HRYHORIYY.
Yeah.
Gregory.
Yeah.
He's a sweet boy. He comes to all of our live shows.
Oh, awesome. Well, I hope we'll be there February 16th. We're doing a live show at Cafe Kerouac again. Cost of admission is just some canned food. That's all we're looking for. That's because I used to go to punk house shows all the time and they did canned food donations. It was like the most amazing thing for me. I think it sparked in some sort of hope inside of me as a very young child to be tearing up the inside of a party house and then also giving food to charity. So we'll be continuing in that tradition. And I'm also going to talk to my DSA chapter about having petitions available or some collecting signatures for this summer police project initiative. But be there.
Yeah, so he responds, fuck, I think of doing this all the goddamn time. And it's like, man, this is, things are bad. It's hard out there for people if we're wrecking our cars.
Oh, you're talking about the tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as soon as I saw it, I recognized it as, yeah, I thought about hurting myself to get out of work several times.
I've never thought, hurting yourself is another level up. Like, I know people who have, like, made themselves throw up at work.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Maybe do that instead.
That's a good one. What I used to always use was the pink eye mandate. The first time I had pink eye, I developed allergies at a late age, like 20s, and I started draining out of my face. I got pink eye. So I started getting pink eye like every once a year when my allergies acted up. And that's when I found out if you have it, it's so contagious that they had to let you off work. It's one of those like bulletproof excuses. So what I would do is take like a fucking wool sweater and just try to rub it as much as I could on my open fucking eye until that thing looked like it was pink eyed. And go into work and just be like, I got pink eye again. I'm disgusting. I don't wash my hands.
Yeah, I got... I got pink eye again. No, I'll work. I don't.
Yeah, no, I want to. I came in because I really want to work. That's the best part, too, is because I drive all the way there whistling Dixie, man, and just fucking go right in there and be like, take a look at my eye. Bet you can't let me work.
I think the thing about that for me is like a call off. Is like when you cut a call off is the best way to get off of work because you can go back to sleep.
Sure,
you do it from bed. I always feel like if you just do it right from bed, that's so much more convincing because you're still groggy, your throat is still kind of messed up. But the number one most prime call off is the night before call off.
Yeah, that's where it's at. That's one you got to sound like. I always sound like I was in a panic. Like, I'm just so fucking sick, and I'm going to call at 6:30 tomorrow like I'm supposed to, but I don't know when I'm going to wake up if I pass out. I mean, I just don't know what's going on. And then I would never call in the morning. Yeah. I'm like, well, I left that crazed message. Didn't you think I was pretty sick when I left that?
My grandpa's in the ER. Oh. They don't know if he's going to make it out. He has like a 40% chance of making it out. And I want to be there because he raised me and we used to build birdhouses together. And they're like, oh, just do not worry.
I'm flying to Tempe in the morning, so I can't call. That's why I'm calling the night before.
Yes. And then that's the thing. Then they live. You get the pop of being like, they're like, so how did everything go? And it's like, you know what? They lived. They were strong. My grandpa's strong. He's a strong, wise man.
Yeah, one time I bluffed my way into a 5-day vacation for an out-of-state funeral for a girlfriend. Because they were like, this is your wife? And I was like, I was just like, and just kind of looked away and kind of nodded a little bit. And then, and then I got to do it. And then they were like, well, as long as you can bring in the copy, the obituary, I did it all.
We should have just.
A whole week in Virginia, man. Virginia Beach.
We should put obituaries in the Street Fight store, like an obituary template that people can print out and take.
It's a good idea.
I know. That's a good thing to have.
We'll have all the races. We'll have like all the races and all the genders. We'll have like 8 different like guess who type obituaries that you can cut out. Put a paperclip on that shit and file it right in the HR desk. Get yourself a vacay.
Yeah, we'll even toss you like an announcement, one of those little cards they give you at the funeral. They're usually handing out a card. It's like, buy that at streetfightradio.com.
Yeah, you're free. Get out of work with a fake obituary kit.
The extra, that's like a prime extra day off.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Thing. I mean, you know,
that's like
PTO is worth a lot.
Yeah, and that could get you 2 days off work. That could get you 2 bereavement days. And, like, you know, just don't do it all the time. But, you know.
You got 4 times.
Four times in one year,
no,
you think?
You got step grandparents. You can do 8. Probably up to 8 grandparents could die while you worked in a place if you worked there for 10 years.
I mean, you could just say he's like my grandpa, too. Like
that's a good
like
one.
Lonnie's always have like a whole bunch of different.
That's
even
true.
Brett and I, like Charlotte calls me Uncle Brian. It's like, I'm an uncle now. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's a funeral you're going to get off of work for, Charlotte.
That's true. Or if we Street Fight crashes and you go back to work, I'm like, my niece is in the hospital.
Exactly. That is great. That is okay. Look for that in the store in the future. This is maybe the best piece of merch we've ever come up with. That is working.
I have a good work story too,
yeah,
actually.
That's what I was waiting. That's
sorry.
Up next, we got Brett's got a working story.
I did. I had someone write in, and some of you, I just don't answer. I'm like, I read it, and I'm like, oh, this is great, and then I don't answer. And then you hear about it on the show, and I realize you probably thought for like 3 weeks I was completely ignoring you. So I apologize for that, and I promise to do better. So Wilson sent this in, and here we go. I got to get a drink of water, actually. He said, your story about the brave Jordan, he certainly is, and his
love Jordan,
and his cowardly manager reminded me of this story that happened to my friend Dan. Like Dan's. I'm a big fan of Dan's. When he was 16, he was working at Walmart up here in Alberta, Canada. One of his jobs was going to get the carts from the parking lot, a job that wasn't too fun when it gets down to negative 30 degrees Celsius.
Let me just say, that job, never fun. I have done carts at a grocery store. Not a fun job.
I mean, as a teen, it's fun because you just get to do whatever you want in the parking lot. We used to go when my friend worked there, and he would come out and hang out with us while we were in the car. We would fucking ride in that. We would ride around in those things. We would. Yeah.
They would watch. They would be like, if you're not moving, you ain't carting, my friend. When I worked
Walmart,
at Kroger.
Oh, yeah. The Walmart was actually pretty lenient.
Yeah, probably because there's like 4 employees for a whole store.
Right. And the parking lot's
busy as hell.
The parking lot is twice the size of the store. I mean, it's a football field. So one day it was especially cold. He didn't have any good gloves or a hat. His manager told him to just grab some off the shelf to use while getting the carts. Uh-oh.
Somebody else's? Oh,
the manager said,
oh, shit.
Hey, you look like you're going to be pretty cold out there. Grab a hat and some gloves off the shelf.
Shit. I'm mad as hell right now.
That's the setup. After he was done doing that, he was grabbed by security and the higher managers and taken into the back room and given a whole, we've got you on camera stealing those gloves and toque spiel. Toque.
Toque while you record. Toque is a hat.
Okay. So they caught him. He tried to explain that he was told to do it by his direct manager, but that manager threw him under the bus and denied it.
Oh, hell yeah, it did. Hell yeah.
Because he knows we'll never see him. Like, it's just like, it's you just have to look away and be like, no, I never told him. And they're like, thank you, John. And yeah. then they let him walk out the fucking door.
I wonder if John had also convinced himself, like,
right,
convinced himself that he didn't actually mean go get one off the shelf.
When he said go get one off the shelf.
Yeah, like, you know what I was talking about.
I meant, like, that would be funny if you did that, but you shouldn't really do that. It's why it's a joke, because it's preposterous that you would take those off the shelf. Yeah, that fucking coward-ass shit there. Come on, man. So Dan even offered to buy them. Was already on the way to return them when he was grabbed. He wasn't shoving them down his pants or anything like that, but they refused and told him the cops were on the way. The Mounties took him out of the store in handcuffs and took him to the station where he had to stay overnight until he and his mom could get a lawyer down to get him out. He ended up pleading out and ended up with a goddamn criminal record, which went away when he turned 18. He said the whole thing ended up costing several thousand dollars in the end.
What the? I'm so mad. First of all, what's going on in Canada that, like, the penalties for stealing a pair of gloves and a toque from Walmart is like that insane? Like, that they called the police. But, like, I get it. You know, like, the stores always feel like if an employee steals something,
you've
got to give them the motherfucking electric chair so nobody else does it. You know, because it's so, I mean, we've talked about this on the show. It's incredibly easy to steal from Walmart if you're an employee, that's why this is strange, because why would he be that bad of a thief? You know, sure. Why does Walmart? And well, what the fuck? Here's just another quick thing off the top of my head here. If it's minus 28 degrees, your company should be able to afford to toss you some gloves and a goddamn hat. What the fuck is Walmart doing that they can't afford that $8?
Yeah, there should be something it should be as easy as saying, like, here they are. That we're going to take this out of the funds that I have to make sure that this shit can be taken care of. Anyways, later it came out that there was some kind of pressure from above on the store to find out and bust shoplifting staff, which, like you said, stealing from there is extremely easy. So that's why the fact that he got caught probably means he was very innocent, because the people stealing from there know what to do.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you go back to our November shows, you'll hear us giving all kinds of advice on how to do that.
Oh my God, this is like a Lifetime movie here. They just singled out this kid to look good. He is a genuine sweetheart, though. He led the youth group at church until he was like 25 and is a high school science teacher now.
A high school? That's, I mean, fuck. They really destroy, they, I mean, but I've seen people do that. I've been at jobs where they've done the same thing, where they like, there was this dude that I worked with, right? And he was a fucking terrible employee. Like, he was as bad as me, like, as lazy as me. Okay.
Right.
And we all had sick days. A lot of sick days, actually, at the cable company, believe it or not. Like, they were pretty generous with the sick days. I think a lot of it's because we work outside and shit. Dude asked for the day off, right? That the new Madden game came out, and they were like, oh, we can't give it to you. So on that day, he was like, weirdest thing, I just happened to be sick on the day that I requested off and you didn't give me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They fucking fired him.
Oh, really?
Like, they fired him for faking.
Yeah, you push back too hard, they'll get rid of you.
Yeah, I've never even heard of them. Like, they just determined that he was a faker, you know? And he was being singled out because he stunk at his job. They were like, okay, like, we have two ways to do this in a bureaucracy. Pile up a bunch of occurrences. That's going to take, like, a year, and we're still going to have to deal with this guy. Or just find the first thing that we can really give him a good firing for.
I'm not going to say I'm... shit, sorry. Woo. I'm not going to say I agree with this, but I would say a part of working a regular job, in America, I expect that if I request a day off and they say I can't do it and I don't show up, I will be fired, because it has happened so many times in my working career that I've seen other people do that same shit.
Yeah, it's not fair. It sucks. If you have sick time, they shouldn't be able to fire you for using sick time. It's so unfair.
It is extremely controlling.
Yeah, and Here's the other thing. And, like, just give people the day off. There's nothing too important. I mean, unless you're, like, the only person. Like, I get that there's times where, like, maybe at a small business, there's only two employees and one of them calls off. And that means the owner has to go into their own shop. God forbid their own fucking shop and do an extra amount of work. You know, you hire one guy or 10,000 if you're Black Rifle Coffee Company. And they can't do it. I guess that's whatever. But I think now that's why communism works, because there's always like this extra pool of people that can just roll in and do the work. No jobs get left behind because we're all kind of on the list for jobs, you know. Actually got a story from Sam Hindman, S-A-M-H-I-N-D-M-A-N. I'm always spelling names for Twitter. I'm trying to be as kind as I possibly can, but this comes up a lot of times, something that comes up on a lot of times on the show. And he DM'd me and he said, I just started working for a very small business almost at the same time I started listening to Street Fight. And it's spooky how y'all describe my boss so perfectly.
I mean, I seen them all. I mean,
we've had a lot of jobs between the two of us.
Yeah. And some of y'all are good at doing like manager stuff or spreadsheets or making food or service or all these other things. I'm really only good at like boiling people down, like I and soaking up all of that experience. So, yeah, I have seen so many wild fucking small business people, and because I don't have a degree, so I have to get in where I fit in, and I do better in small business systems because I can usually get more money because I can get in their ear and show them how I can make them more money.
Well, for me, a small business fits the one of the main requirements of a job now, and is how easy is it to get?
That's true. All of my Craigslist jobs were like filling in weird spots at a small business like yeah. that. I mean, they're not paying to get on Monster. They're not paying to do anything else. They're on Craigslist, and they just want someone that needs $10 an hour.
Yeah, yeah. But he didn't give specifics, but he said he cuts their hours, which is so, like, they use the cutting the hours sometimes as also a punishment, too. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I'm just going to cut. I mean, I like it when my hours get cut, but nobody's depending on my income.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the case for people.
I know, I understand. He said paying them almost nothing for back-breaking manual labor, which is, I mean,
that's conservative paradise, is that all of the people at the bottom will be breaking down their fucking bodies and dying at 55.
And making no money.
Yes.
They
deserve nothing.
Yeah, they deserve. Because
anybody who has a body can do that job.
No, they are racist. And hardcore Republican.
Yep.
But racism, dude, I mean, yes, there's a lot of racist people out there, which stands to reason that there's a lot of people working for a racist store owner.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are people, there are lots of even the Republican business owners that exploit things like illegal labor. And like in Texas, I saw that plenty of times. I saw people get brought in for big projects that were just paid cash. And picked up out of Lowe's, you know, we're not even really Lowe's there. It was just corner stores.
Yeah. It's,
in Dallas.
There's probably a lot of small businessmen in different states freaking out about the Trump's immigration. They're like,
how are we going to get these fucking eggs? How are we going to get these? How are we going to get all this leather made?
How am I going to get somebody? Yeah. The eggs. How am I going to get somebody to till my field for me so I don't have to. You know, my dream was always to own a farm where I did none of the work on it. Is what where Monsanto gives me the seeds and I don't do any work on it.
Right, right. I just follow their plan for making crops for them.
She's beautiful. Every year I have a big keg party where people come over to the house and shoot guns and fireworks and do all the illegal shit they want to do. I got this farm, you know? That's what I think of as farmers now. I know there's good, sweet, like, small farmers, but, like, agribusiness is just, like, ugh. They're all in, like, a McMansion.
Yeah.
In the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, and you're, like, you're being inspected by those companies. Your place is up to their standards. You're basically franchised out, like being a McDonald's owner, you know?
Yeah. I just that what a I love it when somebody tells me, "Hey, you guys get something, it's too right." And small business is it's a hellscape. Our first zine's about it that you'll probably be getting very I think you're going to get it very very soon. But I can't wait for you guys to read this. It's small business is one of my favorite subjects because of how both Republicans and Democrats treat them like they're the best. Like it's troops, cops, small business, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the pillars of our community.
Because small business is the fucking dream.
Yes.
Of all of these people.
Yes.
You know, I'll get a cupcake store one time and pay everybody $4 an hour. And I'll also get cut in on their tips. You don't know how many times I've heard that story, too. The owner getting cut in on the tips.
Right, it's right.
Like, no. No, 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 no. The manager shouldn't even get any of the tips.
Yeah.
I put my tip in that tip jar with the understanding that management isn't getting any tips.
Right, right. Damn, sorry, my heat just came on. Can yeah. I go up there?
I'll talk. You go up there. I'll talk. We'll start moving on to the next thing. Brett's heat just kicked on, so I have to vamp here. But, yeah, I mean, my last two jobs were at small businesses, and technically my current job is at a small business, but it's run by me, and my boss is Brett. So, and I'm his boss. It kind of, we're both bosses. This is still a very non-hierarchical organization. So, yeah, that was... Brett is back now.
Yeah, sorry about that. And people are going to say, oh, he pays for heat. What kind of a luxury anarchist is this, man?
It is. It is kind of a... So here's something we didn't get back to last week, Brett, that we didn't get into in our story, other story recorded. Internal affairs investigation clears Philly police officer with apparent Nazi tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. Our favorite cop we talked about, I think on the Best of 2016 show, this is the asshole that looks like an extra. Oh man, I forgot the name of the movie.
From American History X?
Yeah, he looks like an extra from American History X, and he has the gigantic fucking Nazi eagle on his forearm, and it says Fatherland.
Well, the weirdest, yeah, and the weirdest thing about it is he looks like a dork. Really, like even in the he's a bike cop with one of those helmets on, and
he's kind of opie looking, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what he they should have fired him, is what we're saying. I mean, they should have cut it. They should say, listen, you can get fired or you can get your arm cut off, one or the other.
Sure, sure. I think that's fair. I agree with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think. This is the problem, though, is that we have a serious issue with trying to understand white supremacy. We have a serious problem right now where people aren't alarmed enough by folks that want to genocide other people.
Well, they said that the Trump administration actually stopped investigating white supremacists.
They wouldn't add it to their list of terror suspects.
Yeah.
Terror suspects for like DHS.
They're the ones that really do it all. You know, like white dudes have done most of the terrorism in the past 15 years.
And they're certainly showing up and doing it. Like, you know, the lone wolf stuff that you get is something that happens. You can't blame it on a religion, but there is another aspect which they are avoiding and which is really fucked up. If you're avoiding the white supremacy issue, that's a problem with you.
I mean, and they're I think the thing that they really canceled was like an investigation into white supremacist integration in the police department.
Yes.
Which now you're handing them guns and the power of the state and
to make decisions out there as they're policing black communities, and they think that black folks should be genocided. They think that Mexican people have lower IQs.
Yeah.
We're talking people that want immigrants to just be flat out killed or think they're a poisoning or a disease to this society.
Yeah. And it's punishment. Like they don't even get punished for the things that they do. I mean, if even if I saw like rigorous like disciplinary action for if the cops fight or beat somebody up or kill somebody. If I saw that happening, that would be one thing that it would be, oh, okay, well, but they never get punished. There's never a time where a cop does something and then gets punished. I know that people, you know, your conservative aunt thinks that they do that, but it's just, it's not true. It's they complain when, how do you think they would complain if they were getting punished if they can't even stand it when people say mean things about them?
Right. If we're not allowed to say that the police are being racist. The police are like here in Columbus, Ohio, every time they kill a young black kid here, they just stall. They just stop it. They get all the evidence and then they lock it up and they say, we're doing an investigation. We're doing an investigation. They wait 7 to 10 months on average to then just kind of sprinkle out why the officers are going to get off.
Yeah.
And that is the part. That's how they get things done. I mean, the organization is not working at all.
It's a club. It's a club for people.
For white, to sell it, to protect whiteness.
Yeah.
That's their secret initiative. It's protect whiteness.
Yeah. And each other. Like,
true.
They look out for each other. Like, internal affairs are also cops.
Right.
You know, I guess other cops hate them because sometimes cops get in trouble by internal affairs, but they're still in the end just cops. And cops feel like they deserve like some pretty broad powers. I mean, they deserve to be able to kill. They can kill a dog for barking. A tiny dog. That your son has, you know, you got your kid this dog, the kid's 11, had the dog since they were 4, and the cops come into your house without knocking, the dog runs at them, they can just kill it. Nobody else can do that.
Well, there's people that they get in crimes out in front of their house, and they'll run inside and search their house and kill fucking animals if they find them too.
Yeah, they kill. Dogs in front of your kid, like, and the point of me telling that story and like painting it that way is that like they don't think they should even be criticized for that. If they're even criticized for it, somebody's like, oh, look at the libtards whining. It's like, man, they're doing like,
that guy has a Nazi tattoo. Look at that cop is driving around with a Nazi tattoo.
Yes.
He doesn't get fucking freedom of expression. We don't put up with that shit.
Well, and he didn't have disciplinary action taken against them, they say, is because they didn't have a rule on the books about tattoos. Now, I've worked at fucking call centers that had rules about tattoos.
Police were pretty loose with it before. I remember a guy getting mad because they were changing them up, like recently. They started saying you couldn't have them. Only recently, from what I've known.
Well, I mean, good.
Because they weren't getting them for a while. But then it like became, when tattoos became a TV show, then the cops were like, I want to express myself.
I want to live Moss like Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
Doesn't he do the tattoo show?
Yeah, he does. Well, and so this is the issue. This is really what comes down to it with that whole Milo issue. In that this motherfucker was not just practicing speech. This cop, this Philly cop, has a Nazi tattoo and is running around and dealing with people that he wants exterminated. Milo is going there to target people, to target immigrants and illegal people and make their fucking day unsafe. That is not speech, you know? He doesn't have the right to be a Nazi and a cop. He cannot represent the people.
And he was policing a black resistance march, too. You know, like, he has ulterior motives.
And this is because the black folks are not exterminating. They're not advocating for exterminating the white people. That's not the argument.
No, Black Lives Matter does not mean we kill everybody except for black people.
Extermination aspect, you know, we don't want it. I don't want to crush red state people. I want them to be included and be valued and have access to things. And I do not want to just burn down any place that people talk about being a Republican. I don't. Brian and I could go to some conservative convention and do street fight and scream at people and target them and do all kinds of shit. But we're not assholes, you know. And we're not asking. We're not bringing that up. We're not being. We're not attacking people. And that motherfucker was attacking people.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to read the mayor's statement on it if I can. And then the Fraternal Order of Police's response. So the mayor said, "I'm deeply offended by the tattoo, and I think it's completely inappropriate for any law enforcement officer to have such a tattoo, given its impact on those they are sworn to protect and serve." Which, I mean, you're the mayor, dude. I guess that means when. Well, actually, there's an update on mayor stuff. Okay, I think you're going to be pretty excited about it. Since the investigation determined that the officer couldn't be dismissed because they don't have a policy against tattoos, we're going to draft such a policy so that this cannot happen again.
Can discriminate against Nazis.
Yeah. And the Fraternal Order of Police reiterated his prior statements defending Lichterman, saying there was nothing wrong with the tattoos. Hey, there's nothing wrong. It's a freedom of speech. I don't know why he's Italian. I just like doing that voice these days. That's my Philly voice. Hey, come on. We over here now.
At this John. Man, that's so fucked up, man. It's embarrassing. And, you know, like, not, I mean, it's just, it's how it's always been. The thing about it is that this is just the newest iteration of it, you know?
Nazi like, cops. There's
KKK there's, has been in law. Everybody knows that, like, the KKK is full of law enforcement. If you read any of the books about the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, there's plenty of that in there. And it just hasn't changed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I just, you know, it's scary. It's fucking scary. It should be scary for everybody, you know?
But yeah,
even the conservatives types, the All Lives Matter people, I don't know that, like, because they're very naive, and I really don't know that they know there are a lot of Nazis in the police department and that there are a lot of Nazis in the military. That's like, hey man, they want to do these things, and they're just looking for the opportunity to kill people. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. And they will act on it. And it's, and you know what? It's the same thing as ISIS. It's just like ISIS, because these people are going on Stormfront. These people are reading Richard Spencer. They're going to Milo talks. And some of them are going to kill people, because that's what ultimately their speech is hate speech. And, it pushes and people to the brink.
And they're getting punched in the face. You know what I mean? It's not death. You know, it's not, I mean, I guess it is advocating violence, but it's, I'm advocating a very low level of violence. Actually, I'm advocating the same amount of violence I advocate in everyday life. Look, y'all can punch the shit out of each other, but if no knives, no guns.
Right. And it's all the fucking white folks that aren't the ones that are being targeted is the issue. The fucking, this is where we have to galvanize them and say, don't put up with this shit, because we are not going to put people at risk. Do you think people are illegal or not? And if you think they're not, your fucking brain is as smooth as a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Because people can't be that way, and we're going to fucking defend people. And if someone wants to, if you know what, the world is pretty fucking polite out there from all the places I've been. And if someone is going to stand up on a stage and use that to target people for a harassment campaign, they should be shut the fuck down.
Yeah. And if they're skinheads, I mean, there's, I think somebody told me before the UC Berkeley thing, there were also skinheads there riling people up.
Zig Heiling and shit.
Yeah. So
right behind the lines of cops with fucking actual people heiling Hitler.
Yeah. And Black Bloc is like, they're young people. They're young, angry people.
Passionate.
And let me just say that, like, there's a lot worse things they could be doing
Than
what they're doing. I'm proud of them. I like from the beginning of this show. Listen, when I started Street Fight and started going by anarchist, I thought all anarchists were Black Bloc.
Yes, that's what we pretty much conflated ourselves with that.
We wanted to be the guys that mask up and kick things and light things on fire. And then we ended up finding out that most anarchists are women. And LGBTQ people, mostly. I mean, like, every time I go into a group, I'm like, I'm the rare person. And that a lot of them are dorks. Like they wear bow ties and read Rothbard all day.
Yeah. Yeah, the what they did was a reaction. It was a reaction to somebody else. This wasn't bombing a fucking school, you know? It was a reaction to somebody. You know, the college had sent out an email that said, hey, this guy's going to come out tomorrow and announce the name of the illegal students on campus. And people said, fuck no to that. And you know what? I fucking applaud it too, because we've found something now to fight for. You know, everybody thought the rest of our days was just going to be sitting around and making snarky jokes on a fucking phone. But now we have something to fight for. We have something to fucking die for, because we're getting in the times where you have to pick a side now. And that's what these events do. And I'm going to share this, but there's a amazing speech I listened to, Joel Olson in Fanaticism. Look for it on YouTube. And these moments force people to make a position. Do you want hate speech? Do you want targeted hate speech or not? That's the line right now, because we're not putting up with this shit. And those people had to do what they had to do. The hand wringing on the sidelines is just useless. Stop it. You're putting yourself into something you don't even have a reason to be in. You don't need to be scolding nobody. The people there at that location had to escalate it to get this shit to stop.
Well, a whole lot of liberals that left for 8 years are now coming back and being like, listen, this is how you do all this protesting stuff to people that have been to people that have gone to like anti-Klan demonstrations where there's four of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or where there's like 20 people. Like, I can't believe that you buy a narrative that's being advanced by Milo instead of listening to the people that did it. And like I said, I mean, if people want to punch Nazis, white supremacists, and then I can't be mad about it. They're not killing them. The right wing people have showed up to these marches and fucking shot people to death. You know, and we're talking about the violence of kicking in a window, lighting a fire, and macing some people and punching somebody.
Yeah, and this is the thing, man. These Nazi folks, they do live online. They have their little areas, Stormfront, their fucking websites, all of their Twitter groups and all that shit. But they fucking worked themselves into a shoot. They thought that freedom of speech meant they could go wherever they want and say something and no one would punch them in the face. And that's what we found out. Freedom of speech is not provided by a piece of paper at all. It's provided by the fucking people. Yeah. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot to get them to do it. But if you keep pushing the level, Milo, that's where it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to push back in response. If you want to put people's lives at risk, you put that transgender person was fucking harassed, off of the campus. And, you know, we can sit here and chop it up and have a tea and a cigarette and talk about what the proper way to do this thing is. But he used his fucking platform to ruin someone else's life, to invite, you know, because he leaves and then they have to go to class with these fucking assholes, these MAGA chud little kids that have never done a day in their fucking life and are, you know, living high on mommy and daddy's hog and going to school. And they're going to make comments at the illegal students in their classes. They're going to say something to transgender people now because
they'll call ICE.
This fucker came and gave them all of the words to do it, you know?
Yeah, they'll call ICE. Or something like, you're right. I mean, fuck them anyway. Like I said, I'm not crying because a Nazi got punched or maced or even a person with just shitty opinion, because nobody went to the hospital, okay? And man, it's a dirty world out there, you know? Like, sometimes you're going to get a little dirt on your shoe. Sometimes you're going to get punched or pushed around, especially if you're going to political demonstrations. I'm sorry, man. I know it's scary, but That's just, I mean, that's part of putting your politics out there too. Like, if you don't want to deal with that, then just be secretive and don't have politics at all, you know?
Right.
I got one more story to end the show on a good note. We don't want to be pissed off at Nazis, right?
Yes.
This is an impossible story to read, but somebody sent it to me, and I'm going to get through it. And it's from The Independent, so it's British. And it says, anti-homeless spikes.
Blimey.
Oh, blimey. Anti-homeless spikes. Anti-homeless spikes installed in Manchester City Center, aimed at deterring rough sleepers, have been removed following protests by local people.
Very nice. All power to the power to the people, because the power of people don't stop.
The spikes were initially installed outside of an office block where the city's homeless often sleep. But locals and council leaders were quick to criticize the spikes, and some even visited to cover them with cushions and food. So
that's dope.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah,
that's too far.
But yeah, we've talked about a hostile architecture quite a bit on this show. There's actually a sign that is There's actually a sign downtown that is pro-hostile architecture.
No way.
And it's an advertisement for a company.
What do you mean?
So it's a plumbing company, right? And there's two pipes. There's one pipe, and then next to it, there's another pipe with that fencing shit inside of it. So you can't skate on it. And it's like, some blocked pipes are actually good. And it's for like a plumbing company. And I'm what? Just like, no, that sucks. Like, you're pro that? Like, you think that's good?
I don't even know what. I can't even figure that out.
Okay. So it's a plumbing company. And like, usually when you call a plumber, a pipe is blocked.
I know that.
You know what I'm saying?
But what did they set up? What did they prevent homeless people from doing?
They didn't prevent homeless people from doing anything. They prevented skateboarders from using them to grind across the pipes.
Fuck that.
This is not anti-homeless necessarily.
Okay.
It's pro-hostile architecture.
Got it.
And you and I are against all hostile architecture.
Yeah, they need to take out those stupid... I want them to take out on escalators. They have those damn metal like pegs that go in the center so that you can't slide down on your butt. Get those out of there and put a damn air pad at the bottom so people can slide. Let people slide down.
Yeah, I would choose that. Yeah, I notice it so much more now since we, a couple months ago did a show about it, but I'm out there now noticing like, shit, why isn't anybody making this bad? Like, we have spikes in Columbus now.
What? Where?
Yeah. And there's office buildings downtown that have spikes.
You know, I got to see them.
You know what the most...
Just take a bag of Quick Reet to them.
You know what the most... There's two places to do this in downtown Columbus, and it's the most annoying thing. There's a UDF in the Short North, and there's a building downtown, and they just play really loud classical music outside, apparently, so people don't hang out there. I want to start, like, hanging out there and be like, nah, man, I like it. This is the classics. This is the only place I can go to hear this stuff.
That's great.
Smoking joints and puking out there.
That's a good idea. Yeah, there's a UDF over in Franklinton that does the same thing. We stopped. We were riding our bike through, and we stopped. And outside, it was just the shittiest speaker, and it was blaring music so fucking loud. It was obnoxious.
That's ridiculous. That is insulting, first of all, that you're like, you know... What does that say about classical music?
What's for babies?
Yeah,
if I put it on the baby toys.
Yeah, it really is. It's music completely
simple,
made for babies.
It's simple music before you can plug shit in. Before you can get reverb.
Simple. It's simple baby music. They play it on Little Einsteins.
Yeah, you could just read a piece of paper and play it. Like, you can plug that into a piano now.
Yeah.
Music has to come from, like, the soul, man.
The guts.
Yeah.
It's got to come from your guts.
Exactly.
Deep down inside. Damn. Yeah, that's the most insulting, hostile thing.
Spikes are the most. I mean, the spikes look terrible, and they just make you feel like you're in, like, a Mortal Kombat finish.
What about benches with the piece in the
yeah.
middle? Those are ugly, stupid, and uncomfortable.
I don't know. I mean, I do like the armrest.
Oh, Man, then they have to double the size of them then.
Okay.
On each side. So somebody could, like, you can still have armrests on your. I think it's silly, man. When I sit on a bench, I want to be like snuggled up to my wife.
Right.
You know, like, hey, I don't want a fucking armrest between
us. That's true.
You know, there's no romance in that. I wanted to live in the city all my life, and now the city is designed to make it so it's uncomfortable to spend any time outside at all.
Yeah, I mean, they really have, like, these nerds planning, like, how can we make it so that no one spends more than 10 minutes out here?
All the benches, let's make all the benches round so everybody slides. Yeah, you're right. Nobody spends more than 10 minutes outside.
It feels uncomfortable sometimes too. When I'll go and hang out at a place for 45 minutes, and then you'll have, like, people, like, security guards are watching you all of a sudden and shit. You know,
You're right.
People are, like, walking by, like, what's going on over here? It's like, just sitting down on the grass.
Am I not allowed to be outside? You're right, though. You sit outside too long, and somebody's gonna come out and shoo you away anywhere except for at a park.
Right.
Where they close at dusk. So you don't sit outside at night.
Right.
That's infuriating, too. Is that another infuriating thing the government does? Is they close all the parks at night? Like, they got to clean. Like, most of the time, places close because somebody's working or somebody's got to clean it up. But they don't really have to do that with the parks.
Yeah, but I know. But they set up with a, they set up the standard of starvation so much, though, that some fucked up shit happens at those parks.
At night?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What do you mean?
Like, what happens at the parks at night?
Drugs and fighting and drinking.
It's got to happen. So if you sit outside anywhere else in the city, they shoo you away or call the police. Where are people supposed to go?
They set it up, though, that way. That is a hellish situation. I don't know.
I need a park. We need a 24-hour park here.
You need a free zone. We need, like, a real free zone.
To sit out fucking side. Like, there's benches all over town, even with the hostile architecture. But if you went and sat on the bench too long, they'd be like, he's monopolizing that bench.
I guess the difference is because in D.C. there isn't any laws against that, so there are people that actually live in the parks. Like, people set, the people actually have tents and shit.
I kind of like that. I'm not mad about that at all. Like,
I'd rather just give them a damn house.
Right. Yeah. But I'd also, like, do the minimum. You know, they're at least doing the minimum. If somebody fell asleep at a park here, the cops would just, you know, pick them up and take them to jail.
That's true.
And then pat themselves on the back for getting a, like, we got him somewhere to sleep.
Right.
All right, guys, we're going to go watch sports ball.
I think so, yeah. Let me see here. We will be back 3 times a week now. I don't know when that's going to begin. I guess soon, because we did hit that number. Probably within the next week or two, you're going to get Street Fight Radio 3 times a week. You can subscribe to that by going to iTunes and looking for Street Fight Radio. You can go to SoundCloud and look for Street Fight Radio. You can go to any of the podcasting apps. Oh, you can even now, if you say for the Amazon thing, hey, Alexa, play Street Fight Radio on TuneIn, and it will start playing our most recent episode for those of you out there using that Echo and Dot stuff. Thank you for everybody that continues to support us. We hope that through our jokes and rantings and ravings, we can build a coalition of horizontally organized people that are ready to bring some peace and quiet back into our lives and some freedom, self-determination, and mutual aid all the way. And it's starting right now as we continue to spread our message, unbrainwash people, and open up the ideas that live outside of the Republicans and Democrats' ideas.
Man!
Yep. If you want to follow us on social media as we continue to do that, you can find us. All of our usernames are Street Fight WCRS, StreetFightWCRS, WCRS. I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. Brian is over on Twitter as at Murder Brian, MURDERBRYAN. Lonnie Tunes shirts are still available if you want them, store.streetfightradio.com. If you're trying to get a copy of that zine, hold on if you didn't get it. We'll be making them more available later this month. Everybody that subscribed, I'm going to get them to the printer tomorrow and You can probably expect him in the next week or two. We appreciate you once again. I'll say that for probably the fourth or fifth time in this outro. Peace out.
I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. So this is what you call composure. Part of my comment, calming down, soon it will all be over. How we've extended heaven's grace on every fallen soldier. In equal measure, know the beast expects proper closure. Check the proverbial figure, some cases a permanent fixture. And all this perversion and splendor, on a list of gratuitous whispers. Where death is a pungent aroma, bending and blowing the corners. Shots at opponents and foreigners, pop off when the moment approaches. It seldom matters what you got to prove. Let the trigger finger point the path and you would not to choose. Who then is held responsible for what you taught to do? Squeeze them boys into a pulp and now you got the juice. Hallucinogenics, fill up on booze and synthetics. Bear our cruelest intentions in a dark room with dependence. Come to an end to be gone and burned our blessed redemption. Whenever you hear the alarm, no, not to second guess it. I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back.
Things go bad with a gun jam. Got a trench coat, show me what you got. It'll use for your trying to plot. It's like a Care Bear versus Autobot. Got a hotel room, only one bed. Sleepy time, Pete, bro, lay on that cot. Got a hotel room, only one bed. Do what you do, girl, lay on that cot, 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 bow. Party show, powder donut, powder nose. Sit on the couch while I recap on out. 50 retweets, man, I'm about to explode. I rap LOD from my heart, from my mouth. 100 retweets, no Miley, I roll. I sit on my couch and watch different strokes. The trillings invited, no lames allowed. Low brown with a rat girl, don't smoke loud. She hate rap, but love me. She do anything, no cow cow. Cook bacon, no ham, straight kick it. Kung Lao, she make sense of that red cam. We all in, gangland.
I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back.
They ain't never had a shot, they gun jam. Click, clack, get back. Nigga, voice spit raps in your face and hit back. Harder than 6'10", back, back, back. You beat yourself before the altercation. Went wolf the bitch, now that's an alteration. He tossing drinks, we hurling bows. Her man be Pee-wee, L-O-D-O-P-E. Ass, and check your girl for no. She cuts lines in the bathroom. Her set the red like a baboon. Whoa, calm down now. That's too much club life. Hennessy drugs, Bud Light. Them testing a dude with a five-pedal uptight. Come next that violet and blush light. Can it be me? Your name be Toby Boy, my name is Jalen. Wrong, your name has a Roby Boy. So stand up, put your hands up. Every damn punk's got a plan, but when a hand crash lands one at random, never end up. Ain't a better man, but I been assassin' your plans. Fucked unless a battle royale. Temperatures rise 100, boy, yeah, you fucked up. Got them pumped up, folks rush to the floor. Bad man, boy, out. Black go, on that note, they stuck Joe. Struck hell, boy, out. Texas heat, mess with me, best expect to see. 3-3,
I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I knocked his crown off, blew off his wave cap, broke off his flat bill. I pushed him way back. I pushed him way back, way back, way back. I pushed him way back.